On a Friday, it is February the 7th. This is Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. I'm George Prentice in for Gemma Gaudette. Yep, Friday.
It's the reporter roundtable.
That's exactly right. I was waiting for the listeners to jump in saying, yes, it's time for the reporter roundtable. And there is so much at the buffet today. So goodness knows, let's introduce our esteemed journalists. Betsy Russell from Idaho Press, welcome. Harrison Berry from Boise Weekly.
It's great to be here.
Jimmy Dawson from Boise State Public Radio News.
Hello.
Well, talk about something old, something new. Paula Jordan. What is going on? There's some news today involving Paula Jordan. Jimmy?
Yeah, she's back. She's running for U.S. Senate against Senator Jim Risch. Had an extended interview with her earlier this week. Listeners can find that on Monday on Morning Edition or go online to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org right now to read my story. Obviously, big name in Idaho politics, ran 2 years ago as the Democratic nominee for governor, was a Coeur d'Alene tribal council member, was in the state legislature from 2014 to 2018. Since then, she's established a couple of nonprofits, including one that's called Save the American Salmon, which is advocating for breaching the lower four Snake River dams to try to, I guess, resuscitate that kind of struggling population of fish. We've got a crowded field right now for this Democratic nomination, including Nancy Harris, James Vandermas, who people might remember last or 2 years ago, I guess, time is hard, running for the first congressional district, Democratic nominee there, did not win, and Travis Oler, though she definitely has the biggest name recognition of all of those candidates. She told me that her biggest priorities included the environment, healthcare, cybersecurity. But conservationists were kind of taken aback a couple years ago after an interview with Outside Magazine came out. In it, she told the reporter, quote, "When it comes to the wilderness areas, I just think that management needs to be, there needs to be more management, not less." The reporter says he followed up several times asking if she meant timber management and thinning of trees, which is forbidden in wilderness areas. Mm-hmm. This is the highest level of protection we have in the United States, more so than national parks, which is a completely separate classification. And she said, quote, like as in going there to thin where we need to. When I asked her if she still felt this way, she said it was an unfair quote from Outside Magazine that they put in the story and that we have to find the best solutions to manage the lands.
Especially in any wilderness, especially like Yellowstone National Park, which a lot of us can relate to, all of those national parks should be protected and there should not be any logging as far as going into heavily cut. I think it needs to be protected and left the way it is.
Yeah, so again, national parks and wilderness areas are not the same thing. It's really unclear what she's talking about here. But again, that's just a clip. You'll find an extended interview on Monday from us.
To be sure, there's a disconnect there.
There is, yeah.
And you followed up, but she's insisting that Yellowstone is her best example?
Well, that was at least the example that she threw out. Yeah. Something that you also found in the Outside Magazine piece where it was unclear. Since the wilderness area, for example, we had the Frank Church Wilderness here in Idaho, one of the largest in the entire country.
Betsy Russell, I guess we were all waiting to see where Paula Jordan would emerge. And it was just a matter of where and when. So now we know.
I think there were, she had dropped a lot of hints that she probably was going to run for the U.S. Senate, was going to try to challenge Senator Jim Risch, who, of course, is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and a very prominent figure in D.C. He's 76, she's 40. But she has just entered the Democratic primary campaign. And the way that she announced today was a little challenging for reporters in Idaho because the news broke early this morning on the Huffington Post in Washington, D.C., and none of us political reporters here in Idaho had received a thing for
just
hours.
Just out of curiosity, how did it come to Idaho reporters? Just as a press release?
So my newsroom received a press release that was submitted through an online form for news tips, and one of the other reporters in the newsroom alerted me because they knew I was waiting for her press release, and that's how I found out. It was not sent out through the usual channels. And really, this is typical of the way that Jordan ran her campaign for governor. There were some fits and starts. There were some stumbles as far as process and just ways of doing things. On the other hand, she has incredible national appeal. She made history when she ran for governor as the first Native American woman to be the nominee of a major party in Idaho, and in fact, the first woman. Mm.
Jimmy, is it your sense that this campaign will be as robust as her gubernatorial race?
I would imagine so. I mean, like I said, she has the biggest name recognition and an appeal out of, or at least to Idaho voters, seemingly, out of the current field. We won't know until May when the Democratic primary is.
But much of that campaign was fueled outside of the traditional Democratic Party, which did not necessarily, wasn't on her bandwagon until she cleared the primary in her gubernatorial race. It was very independent. Yes?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Okay, Harrison Berry, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about a story in Boise Weekly, which got our attention this week, and that is plans for a number of new nuclear reactors at INL.
Yeah.
How many?
So it's 12 reactors, and it's a little bit of a different program. It's called a modular nuclear reactor. So they are 12 reactors that are essentially bundled, and the idea is that you can use them more flexibly than a single large reactor. It allows for, essentially modulated energy production. It's kind of an interesting sort of a complement to wind and solar, for example. The sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, and so the gaps have to be filled somehow. And these nuclear reactors are, one way of doing that. It's a private organization. It's called NuScale. It's based out of Portland. But it's partnering with the Idaho National Lab to, essentially construct these things here. We could start, if these are approved by the Regulatory Commission in September, we could start seeing the first of them go online as early as 2026.
And the director of the INL was at the State House yesterday to update lawmakers. He'll be a guest on this program come Monday, and we are reminded of how significant their HR payroll is. It's thousands of employees. The economic engine is considerable. All that said, it's not as if he was asking lawmakers for any money because their funding is federal.
It's true. NuScale is a private company. This is a very unusual partnership. Currently, Idaho National Lab has 52 working reactors. This would bring it right up to 64.
Betsy Russell, correct me if I'm wrong. Are we at that stage of the legislative session where it's really picking up the pace now as far as lawmakers trying to really get those bills in before the deadline?
Well, I mean, today is an example. It was something of a deadline for submitting new bills, and there were long, long lists of proposed bills appearing on committee agendas to be introduced kind of hastily at the last minute. To me, it seems like the pace has been quite frenzied ever since the start this year, at the start of this year's legislative session, because of the rules issue. 8,000 pages of administrative rules were up for review, and legislative committees have been going through those with varying results.
Do you have a sense of where they are on that? I mean, it is what it is. They have to approve the new rules, right?
Well, that's been always the assumption in the past. Last year, they did not.
Right.
They did not pass what they call the drop-dead bill at the end of the session to extend all existing rules. Thus far, we've seen some conflicting action in House and Senate committees. This week, the House Education Committee held hearings on school content standards.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been an issue in that committee for, they've had big hearings in four of the last five legislative sessions about some legislators' concerns about how the science standards dealt with climate change. But that wasn't what they ended up focusing on this year. Instead, the committee voted, a divided committee, to repeal all of our content standards so that we would not have any content standards in Idaho for what kids should learn in English, math, or science.
And basically what we're talking about here is Idaho Core, or what most people know as Common Core.
So the Common Core movement was a multi-state movement that was trying to get some unity as far as what was taught at which grade levels among the states. And it was interesting hearing Representative Ryan Kirby, a former school district superintendent, and a member of the committee, who said he's been in the standards movement since it started, when first the schools developed their own standards, then they did it by districts, then states were trying to have standards, and then there were multi-state efforts. But basically, the standards that Idaho has have been developed in a long and painstaking and extensive process by Idaho educators who looked at Common Core and at Idaho needs and at what Idaho schools should be teaching as far as getting, you know, an idea between districts. If a kid transfers in the fifth grade, are they still going to be on the same subjects or they're going to end up doing the same thing they did in fourth? And those are the standards that we have on the book that are books that are known as Idaho Core. Common Core has become kind of the boogeyman. It's, it's a plot. It's a conspiracy or something like that. And there was concern among some committee members that Common Core means parents can't help their kids with their math homework anymore. And Common Core means kids are confused and don't like math anymore. And it was unclear from what came out in the hearings what there really is to support that, because the standards themselves don't determine the curriculum or how it's taught in the classroom. And there may be questions about how Idaho's education system in various school districts or schools or even individual teachers are addressing the curriculum. But by dumping all of the standards, that leaves us with nothing.
And the House committee pulled the plug on these standards, but correct me if I'm wrong, we're now heading to the Senate Education Committee, and we had that standoff last year, and it looks like that's where we're heading again.
The Senate committee does not seem inclined to delete all content standards for Idaho schools. No. And if the Senate committee doesn't go along, that House committee action has no effect, at least under our current rules situation, which has been in flux, and we don't know how or if it will change. It's just one of a number of areas in which House committees have voted this year to repeal all regulations that are on the books, and with varying and unknown consequences. Another area is regulations of aerial pesticide spraying. The House Agriculture Committee voted to repeal those, even though just last May we had dozens of farm workers in Parma sprayed and hospitalized, and the very regulations under which that aerial spray applicator was told that he'd been reckless would be repealed.
And those were clear violations. The investigation found violations from that.
And there was a House committee that voted to repeal all of the rules that govern the operation of the Idaho Human Rights Commission. It's not clear what effect that would have. And Representative Judy Boyle, who made the motion to repeal all the standards, said, well, this isn't really going to have any effect because the administration can simply reimpose the rules through a temporary rule, and we will have sent a strong message that they should revisit them. And that is one way to look at it, but it's also a heck of a lot of work to do for, it's not clear what end.
Especially because the math and English standards were up for review during their normal cycle next year as well.
Correct.
And here we are again, this wedge between the House and the Senate, which was so clear last year. And it sounds as if, for instance, in that Senate Education Committee, I can imagine the list of folks who will want to testify at that public hearing when this comes up, right?
If they even choose to hold a public.
If they even choose to hold it. Wow. There is much more to come, but we want to pause for a second to consider another big story this week. And that, of course, was the U.S. Senate acquitting President Trump on two articles of impeachment. And as we know, both of Idaho's U.S. senators voted to acquit. But how did Idahoans feel about the acquittal? Well, our Molly Wampler heard from a number of people this week.
My name is Rob Erickson. I was born and raised in Boise here. Maybe Trump did it, maybe he didn't, but at the end of the day, he was never going to be found guilty because there's party lines. And
Mike Stevenson. I'm originally from Colorado, but I've lived in Boise for almost 2 years. Since the Senate was primarily made up of Republicans, from the beginning, the impression I got was there was very little chance that he would be, there was a real good chance that he'd get acquitted.
I think it'll probably give him free reign to win a second term, to be honest with you, which is what the Republicans were wanting to do in the first place, right?
Kimberly Gonzalez. I'm originally from New Mexico, grew up in Washington, and I've been in Boise for 11 years. I just feel like he can literally do anything at this point, and it really doesn't matter.
So he's got this vindication, right? He's like, hey, you know, you brought me to trial, you threw everything you could at me, you did everything in your power to convict me, and you failed. I got acquitted because I'm not guilty.
Just wish we lived in a different country. at the end of the day.
Don't say that.
No, I do. I think it's
a veteran.
Well, no, I come from a military family. I love this country, but I think it's, like, I just feel like the rest of the world looks at us and it's embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing at this point. That's all I have to say. And it's sad because we shouldn't live in a country like that. So.
Molly Wamper opening our microphones to folks here in Boise and their reactions to President Trump's acquittal this week. There is much more to come in our reporter roundtable. This is Idaho Matters on a Friday, February 7th. We continue in a moment. On a Friday, it's Idaho Matters here on Boise State Public Radio News. I'm George Prentice in for Gemma Gaudette. Our reporter roundtable continues with Betsy Russell from the Idaho Press, Harrison Berry from Boise Weekly, Jimmy Dawson from Boise State Public Radio News. Back to the State House and back to the topic of education and the upending of teacher certifications at Idaho public colleges and universities and the standards that are supposed to be priming these teachers to be the next generation of our K through 12 educators, right?
Right.
What happened?
Yeah. So the state also, in addition to content standards, when we're talking about subjects in public schools, they also have these standards for colleges and universities who graduate students with education degrees who then become teachers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you need to learn how to, knowing the different learning methods, identifying children who might struggle in the classroom, different ways to write tests, things like that. They're pretty broad. And you had Representative Gary Marshall, who's a former BYU Idaho professor, say that these standards were stifling creativity at that university. But Idaho Education News 2 years ago in 2018 found that an elementary education program at that university had actually failed to meet those standards, and that those students, after a certain period, depending on how far along they were in the program, needed to take extra classes.
But his argument was that, well, teachers need to be a little bit more creative, right?
No, he's talking about the institution being creative and how they meet the standards or how they prepare teachers.
But without the standards.
Well,
he
said that he supports standards. It's not clear what standards he supports, but that he does support them, just not these ones.
But the result of the vote in the committee was to repeal all of the teachers.
All of them, yeah.
The initial teacher certification standards that are on the book.
Yeah, and that independent teacher prep programs would not have to meet a yearly review like all of the universities in Idaho have to.
And Representative Marshall acknowledged during the committee's discussion that he had not spoken with any of the public universities in Idaho that have colleges of education. He was basing his decision solely on his experience at BYU-Idaho.
Well, and he did speak to the dean at BYU-Idaho. That was the one dean he spoke with, which is a private university run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And this, again, was a set of rules that was not new. It was on the books. It was simply being reviewed because all rules are being reviewed this year.
And Jimmy, I'm curious, how might this affect the kinds of employment opportunities that graduates of these programs might have? Because I understand that, if you learn in Idaho, perhaps you'd like to teach in Idaho, but perhaps not. Maybe you get your degree here and you try to go elsewhere.
Right. So when we spoke with a woman from the State Board of Education, chief policy advisor, she had said that there will be a little bit of a lag time because these universities will still have these standards in place because the students who are currently going through those programs will still have to meet those to graduate. They're also considering, if the Senate Education Committee does dump these standards as well, throwing in another temporary rule, pending rule, whatever it might be, to reestablish these standards, and then we'd be back in this situation all over again.
And once again, if the Senate committee chooses not to take that step, the House committee's action has no effect.
Exactly.
So walk me through that again as far as process. So it has cleared the House Education Committee. It is up to the Senate Education Committee on whether or not to even pick it up, right?
Basically, the way that
the
rules
don't?
Process has worked up until now, for certain types of administrative rules, one house may reject them, but if the other house doesn't take the same action to reject the same rules, that it overrides the first house. It takes agreement on both sides to reject a rule. And the House has been very avid, particularly last year, to change that process and say that it should be able to unilaterally jettison whatever rules it wants, whether the Senate wants to or not. That change has not occurred, though.
Yeah,
I can't imagine the Senate ceding that amount to the House. But is it fair to say that this is heading to the Senate Education Committee?
Well, it definitely is. Whether or not they take it up is a different matter and hold a public hearing on it. They could just throw this in a desk drawer and let those standards be still in place at the end of the session.
Okay, guys, here we go. Rapid fire. It's time for the news quiz. You ready? Number one, the company's shadow, an acronym, made big news this week. Who are they? They design an app.
Oh, are we talking about the Iowa Caucus
Iowa.
App?
Iowa. Yeah.
Exactly. Shadow an acronym. Check your stock on those companies. Patsy, you should know this. A team of high school students from Eagle High had a big moment at the Idaho State House
That's
yesterday.
Right. They successfully introduced a bill to restrict smoking or vaping in a car when minors are present, and they almost didn't get it introduced. There was a tie vote to send it back to them, but then the House Health and Welfare Committee relented and agreed to introduce it, which is just the preliminary step. It means they could get a hearing.
But again, that bill is a rather dramatic bill. It would ban smoking or vaping in the presence of minors in a vehicle. That would be huge.
Well, personally, my mom smoked with all four of us kids in the car when I was little, and I kind of wish she hadn't done that.
Okay. The Kansas City Chiefs had a celebration parade this week to celebrate their Super Bowl win. Now, if President Trump had been invited, why would he have not gone to the right city?
Because he thought that it was in Kansas.
That's right. He tweeted out congratulations to the Chiefs in Kansas City, Kansas.
Which there is one,
okay,
but that's not
that's
where they
not
play.
Not where they play. Yes. Okay, folks, name one movie up for a Best Picture Oscar this Sunday.
1917.
Okay, name two. Name another.
Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
Okay, Harrison?
For Best Picture, Joker.
Joker is up, yes, very good. Have you seen any of these? That's okay.
Neither have I. I haven't seen any of these movies.
You get to see 1917.
Okay. 1917, by the way, I think is the your surprise winner this year.
You think?
I do. So don't put money on it, though. Thank you so very, very much. Scintillating as always, Betsy Russell from Idaho Press, Harrison Thanks. Berry from Boise Weekly, Jimmy Dawson. See you in the newsroom. There is much more to come on Idaho Matters. What are Saturn's rings made of? Think about that for a moment. We'll continue.